Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm glad you stopped by. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things we talked about yesterday. I got a Facebook message about a new bit of entertainment that our young Hannah Montana star, Miley Cyrus, did. And it kind of invoked some feelings that I have. And Shelley and I talked about this yesterday. What is expected of a young starlet slash entertainer today? Is it all about sex? I was reminded of that song, Let's Talk About Sex, 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 S-E-X, and I was thinking to myself, you know, it really, really is a big part of our world. And indeed it should be. But it should be treated a lot more special, in my opinion. So I watched, or I read an article in regard to a new presentation that she's done for another bit of entertainment. I guess it's a big video for my Facebook is moving very slow this morning. A new video that she's done to sell somebody's music. And it's disheartening because the deal is that she's adorable and she's talented. She doesn't need to show everybody her popo to prove that, in my opinion. And but she's been led to believe by the grown-ups that are selling her and promoting her that's really what she has to offer, which for me is kind of sad. I don't think that's all she has to offer. I'm going to bring Shelley in, and then I'm going to read this article, and we're going to talk about this. I also want to talk about the fact that everything we do in regard to this world has something to do with how we present ourselves. And the picture everybody gets of you is what you put out there for them to see. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Renee.
How are you?
I'm doing good. On my way into work.
Yeah, well, you know, one of us has to work, honey.
There you go.
Ironically, after we talked last night, I did a little bit of research, and first thing this morning, at about 6 o'clock this morning, this other story pops up about Miley Cyrus. So I'm going to read it because it's a commentary on one of her latest endeavors, and it kind of sums up what everybody's thinking, but everybody, nonetheless, is supporting what she's doing, and the adults in her life, like we talked about yesterday, aren't leading her in any other direction. And this is for, what's the name of this group? I don't know any of these groups anymore. So it's Wrecking Ball or something. But anyway, listen to what it says about her. We get to see a lot of Miley Cyrus's tongue in her new video and much, much more. The 20-year-old former Disney darling released the music video Monday for Wrecking Ball, the second single off her forthcoming album, Bangers, in which she wears see-through underwear or nothing at all. Yes, Miley, we get it. You aren't Hannah Montana anymore. After I stopped laughing at the video, all I could think was this video screams, I'm beyond desperate to be shocking, beyond desperate to be sexy and beautiful. Instead, it's ridiculous, not artistic, not meaningful because she's trying too hard to pose for camera and do a Calvin Klein ad for underwear while poorly lip-syncing and being overly dramatic. Nicole Clark, a media educator for students and director of the documentary Cover Girl Culture, told Fox 411, I just can't take her seriously as a singer or performer in this seriously silly video. It's almost Zoolander because it seems she thinks she's being artistic and serious, but her attempt is transparent and laughable. At one point, she rubs her nose on the chain and looks absurd. John Clark, who works in the film industry and educates young people on the influences of media and pop culture, concurred. They didn't fail to make it artful. They did not try, he said, because the point is to show her naked and licking that hammer in bright light and sharp focus so we can all be shocked and awed. This video further emphasizes to young girls that what is most important for them to have success in their lives is being as sexy as possible for the man. The sexually charged video has drawn plenty of surprise and eye rolls from music lovers. Oh my God, several wrote on YouTube. Trash, observed another. Twerking or getting naked, two choices only. Yet several other fans gave it a stamp of approval. Miley, no matter what the people say about you, they just jealous because you are amazing. You have amazing voice and an amazing body, and always remember there are people who love you, wrote a supporter. As another weighed in, this is amazing, I loved it. However, some industry experts anticipated that the wrecking ball display is the sign of something deeper than just trying to shed her tween star image. Miley Cyrus seems to be in the midst of a crash. Maybe it's a 20-year-old acting inappropriately as part of growing up, but it's not appealing, not sexy, and it isn't funny. This is from Ron Tarosian, the CEO of FWPR, that must be a television network, who has represented corporations and celebrities. He pondered, one wonders if Cyrus has anyone counseling her. Oh, that sounds familiar. Where is her manager, her agent, her publicist? But in this day and age of attention-grabbing, sex-selling, celebrity culture, are Cyrus's antics much of a surprise? In a time when former Playboy centerfold Jenny McCarthy becomes the latest legit host on The View, sharing a sofa and airtime with her new colleague Barbara Walters, and the Kardashian sisters punk their 16-year-old sibling with potty profanity, this seems like more keeping up versus taking America down, said image consultant Tamara Jacobs. Haven't we already seen this movie with bad girls like Paris Hilton, not to mention bad boys like Anthony Weiner? So it sounds to me like the powers that be are in agreement with us. They find it to be obviously not just uncensored, but it looks as though the people that are making her decisions or helping her make her own decisions, I don't know how that's working for her in her entourage, but they're leading her down the road that if she doesn't sell herself at 20, she won't be around at 30. And maybe that's true. I don't know. We're not in show business. But it does seem to me that there should be a certain amount of respect that remains with you at all times just for your own personal perseverance. I can't imagine displaying yourself like that and then looking at the video later, because we are very critical of ourselves. I can't imagine any great sense of pride when you rewatch a video like this. This will end up being very demeaning for a young girl who grew up kind of squeaky clean. And now all of a sudden, I mean, you know, I think it's more like a meltdown than anything else, and she's being led by the wrong people. Let's hear what you got to say, Shel.
Yeah, well, I agree with that also. One of the things that I find unsettling, disturbing, frustrating, is that so many girls, I mean, like Britney Spears is another one. She was squeaky clean when she first hit the airways, and then, she went to extremes and all that. But I don't understand the genre of shock sex in music when you talk, especially with the young girls, because they're the ones that are really prompted and encouraged and to take their creative gifts, which is really what it is, into that arena, and I don't understand it. Their music is fantastic. When you listen to it, it's either fun when they're younger or it can get like more dance style when they get older. A lot of Britney's songs became club hits. You know, they were very danceable, high energy, that type of stuff. In fact, I actually do like Britney's music because for that reason. But I don't understand the constant need to portray young girls in such a an inappropriate sexual way. It's
like,
you know,
raunchy.
Like,
it's not sexy. It's raunchy.
Right. It's raunchy. And it's a completely wrong message to give girls. You know, you can be sexy and yet still be sophisticated. You can be sexy and alluring and still have class about you. You don't have to get raunchy. And that's where they go in these. It's about the base sex. It's not about, you know, being a little flirtatious and getting someone interested in you. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, I just met you on the street. Let's jump in the sack and see how freaky we can get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like the completely wrong message. That's not a healthy attitude towards sex or sexual activity. They're making it very frivolous. They're making it very, and that actually matches the tone of how kids today think about sex, which is being propagated by a lot of the music, by a lot about how young teenagers are being depicted with regard to sex, and now it's translating down to the regular kids that aren't stars, that sex nowadays is something very casual. There's no meaning behind it anymore, and that's a big mistake, because when you take the emotion out of that action, when you take the meaning out of it, it just becomes a physical action with no benefit. You know, this is something that's supposed to bond people, not just be a simple release of hormones. And they're really missing the mark by having it be some, you know, but by taking sex into something that it's not. I don't understand the allure of it, to be honest with you. I don't understand why people are buying into that.
I don't know. Maybe it's because we're old. I don't know. I wonder about that myself, but of course I've always been in that arena. I've always been a little bit prudish and have my own personal hang-ups about what I think is proper and what isn't proper. But on the same token, I don't think I'm really a prude, but I do think there are some things in this life that we are given that can be given to someone else that is like a special gift. And yourself is one of those things, one of those most important things. So when you make the decision, you're not giving, if you're a guy, you're not giving a box of candy, you're not giving flowers, you're giving yourself, which should have more importance than what we're giving it. And if you're a girl, and you're giving yourself to somebody else, you're not giving them a new shirt or a CD or a new tie. You're giving them yourself. There should be great importance set on that, because it's one of the only things that you have to give that has real meaning. So when you take away the meaning and give it to everybody, it's like, you know, it loses its importance, and you no longer have that gift to give to someone special. So that may sound silly to a 16-year-old who's already had 3 or 4 partners, because I know there's a lot of that going on out there, and they look at it from a whole different point of view. And I can't go there because my head won't wrap around it, which doesn't make them wrong and me right. But I would like it if they gave it a little bit more thought, like what I'm talking about, because you really don't have anything to give to somebody that you think is the most important person in your life other than yourself. I mean, you know, material things come and go and fall apart and rust and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you give yourself to someone else, that's the most treasured gift that you can give. And if you do that, then it shouldn't be something everybody, I mean, you know, it shouldn't be like a used T-shirt. It should be special. And I think we've lost sight of that with the kids. And, of course, advertising what you have to offer to 50 million people also takes away a little bit of the special part of what you have to offer. But I also believe that when you can talk a 20-year-old girl who is, I mean, you know, in most circles considered perfect, she has a beautiful figure, she has a beautiful face, she has lots of talent, and put her out there and let her kind of, I don't know, expose herself so totally and so completely, what's left? I mean, you know, a gynecological report? I mean, is that all that's left for us to see of this young 20-year-old girl? What secrets does she have for herself? What's left for her to be in control of now that they've allowed her to put all this other stuff on display? And maybe other people don't think about these things, but I think these things should be special and private. I remember the first time I saw Bette Midler after a long time of just, you know, seeing her on musical shows and everything. I saw her on an MTV. This was probably 25, 30 years ago. And I was appalled by her behavior, Bette Midler, because Bette Midler could be real raunchy too. And I was like, why does she have to do that? What's the deal there? I mean, you know, she's already an amazing singer. People listen to her sing all the time, but she's got to sell sex with it too, and she's not gorgeous, but she was very raunchy. Do you remember that part in time when she did shows and stuff like on MTV and some of the specials that were on late at night,
and she was
pretty raunchy?
And I remember seeing them, and they were pretty raunchy. But they weren't geared towards kids. So
yeah, that's true, too.
There's a little difference there because, you know, adults can decide whether or not they want to engage that. They're not going to be influenced to become raunchy. It's entertainment. The difference between what Bette Midler did and what's happening to these young girls is because Miley Cyrus or Britney Spears are still the same age as the kids that are their fans, they are now influencing them to go there, to become like
mm-hmm.
them, to emulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was going to watch Bette Midler and want to emulate her. It was raunchy, but it was strictly for entertainment, like going to a burlesque show. You know, nobody's going to walk out of there and all of a sudden want to be, you know, so there's a little bit of a difference there. And I understand where you're going, but she wasn't trying to influence a generation. Nobody was gonna start prancing around and doing all the things she did. It was just a show. But what Miley
mm-hmm.
Cyrus and Britney and girls like that do when they get into this arena with their performances is that they're actually influencing a generation of young girls to think that that's how they have to act. That it's a number. They think it's appropriate. They think it's how they have to get guys. They think it's how they have to have power, and it's not. It's a really, really wrong message. And I think the powers that be, like the article said, where was her manager? You know, where are all the people that tell her what's a good choice for how her career
mm-hmm.
is going?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we said yesterday. I'm in total agreement with that article. And again, I'm sure there were people that enjoyed it. It's not about that. And I'm sure that there were people that thought it was really, you know, kicking and great and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to argue with them either. But all I, you know, for me, it always goes to, oh my God, what if that was my kid up there? I'd be mortified. And if somebody doesn't have something else to offer, and they have to dig for things to offer, I keep my mind keeps going to this this real life thing that's on. I've never seen it, but I've seen all the advertisement and all the stuff in the magazines and on the internet and everything about Honey Boo Boo. And her very I don't know, eclectic family, and the fact that she is a very large little girl. She's not your picture of a sugar and spice little girl, which is fine with me. I wasn't either. But they have also, you know, put her up there for ridicule and for judgmental comments and things like that. And I think that was mean. And it was obviously to get attention and to make some money. And then the pictures that they show of her mother and the rest of her family, I'm like, you know, boy, people will really and truthfully do anything for money and for fame. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't like that show. I caught it once. I wasn't really interested in it. I was like channel surfing and I came across it. And I was like, what is this? And I watched it for a few minutes. And I actually found it kind of embarrassing. I was like, I mean, I'm putting myself in the position of the family. I'm saying, do they realize this show is degrading? Why would somebody choose to put themselves out on the air in a non-complimentary way? I don't think this show makes them look like a good family. I don't think it makes them look like they're good parents. They're not responsible. They come across like, I apologize for using this word, but they come across like white trash.
Yeah.
You know, but they're putting themselves out there. You know, they nobody's doing this about them. They're participating in this reality show, and I think it's in very poor taste. I've seen some of the reality shows that are actually kind of educational, and I'll want to watch them. But there's a couple of them out right now that are just into showing really what I think is a lower brow area of our society, and I don't know why they think it's worthwhile making a show out of that. Why not follow a family that goes around and does charity work, or a woman that works three jobs and got six kids and takes in a foster kid, and you know, why not follow these people around and show their daily struggles and maybe inspire people to be better people? No, they got to follow this family. I don't get that.
Well, because it's our nature to want to feel superior to others. It's our nature to want to feel like we're doing a better job, we're more successful, we're this, we're that. So when we watch something that is, like you just said, lower brow, which indeed it is, then it gives us a feeling of superiority. And it's a bad trait in us, but it is an existing trait of almost everyone.
I don't agree that that's our basic nature, though, Rainey. I really don't.
No, I didn't say it was our basic nature. I'm just saying that it's a trait that we all have, honey. It really is.
But I don't think we all have it because I don't have it. And I know a lot of people are offended by that show for the same reason I am and you are, because it's not our nature. I think there's a lot of people that are like that, and I think that's a symptom of one of the things wrong with people today, and it's been propagated through generations. And I think we have the ability to start teaching people appropriate sensitivity and to not want to watch shows like this. That if you're enjoying the show like that, as far as I'm concerned, that's a reality check. Maybe you need to really question, you know, why would you enjoy something like that that's really kind of putting down an entire family and they're participating in it, you know, unless you're doing some type of a sociological study. I don't think it's a good sign that you would enjoy something like that, you know, and that's just my
okay,
personal opinion.
Let me ask you something. How many people do you think watched Married with Children?
Oh, a lot.
Yep.
But that wasn't a real family, and that was so far a fetch. I mean, that was not a real family, Rainey. That was just ludicrous. It was done for. I mean, they just made fun of everything on that show, and it was so extreme. It was just, you know, whether you like the humor or not. Now, if that had been a real family, it would have been different, because I watched it a couple times and I thought it was funny because it was absurd. It was funny in its absurdness. Here you're watching a real family that is completely dysfunctional. The parents, you know, are not responsible parents. And here we're putting them up on the TV every day, you know, and again, I don't even know the purpose of the show, because I found it offensive, you know. That when you're talking about something like Married with Children, and again, some of the comedies that are out there, I don't care for the humor because I think it's insensitive. But again, it's not us peering in at real people and ridiculing them. Now you're just, you know, you're just going into like satire, which can be funny. Mm-hmm. But you're taking things to an extreme. It's kind of like the Bette Midler thing, is, you know, compared to this. It's a different genre of humor. Where where this reality show is actually people peering in on a family that, as far as I'm concerned, needs help, not to be watched every week for, you know, how this kid is coming out. And she's almost kind of like the matriarch of the family. It's like the kid runs the family. That says a lot.
Well, but you see the comparison. We do think, and you know, you can't always be sure that the public understands or is able to analyze the way you are. You can't always be sure of that. So there is always the possibility, not probability, but possibility that somebody thinks it's all just for show and that it's not really real. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration too. And on the same token, there is also the possibility, not probability, that somebody thought that there's really families like Married with Children and still enjoyed it. So I think a lot of what we're talking about today with Miley Cyrus and with shows like that is, you know, attention and ratings and money and what you can sell to people and what you can get people to believe and what you can get people to watch, which I guess I understand to a certain degree. What hurts me about Miley Cyrus is the fact that at the end of the day, where is she going to be? Where is she really going to be when she's done exposing herself to this degree? Where is she going to be? Forget about the people who like it or don't like it. Forget about the people that are making money from it. Forget about all these people. Let's just concentrate on what this is going to do to Miley Cyrus's future. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, she's kind of... I think the bad thing about when they go to that kind of an extreme is that then they tend to pigeonhole themselves into that new genre. I'm hoping... I don't know where this is going to lead her, but what I would like to see is for her to kind of end up somewhere in the middle. You know, she definitely went from one extreme to the other, and maybe when all the dust settles with this, she can return to, you know, if she wants to have a more mature routine, fine, but she doesn't have to go to the extreme of the raunchiness. If she wants to have a little bit more sex appeal, just a little differently, I just hope that she can find some middle ground now. So that, you know, I mean, it's appropriate for her to step into a little bit more of an adult look and sound and everything, just without having to go to that extreme. So we'll see. I'm not really sure where this is taken now because there's such mixed reactions to it. But that was my whole.
Well, I think you and I are in agreement that she shouldn't go from Hannah to Hooker. She should go from Hannah to Miley Cyrus. Who is talented and capable and, you know, a beautiful young woman, that we're in agreement with. But the necessity of the shock value, like I said, that's a big jump from Hannah Montana to, you know, Irma LaDuce. So it's a sad thing. But the biggest part that I appreciate about this whole discussion is the fact that we actually realize that it has little or nothing to do with Miley Cyrus. She's being led by a group of adults who are supposed to have her welfare heart. And
that's
obviously
right.
They do not. And that's what's more upsetting for me than anything. She does. She's just a kid. And as kids, we make lots of mistakes. And we talk about this on this show constantly and chronically, that if you are an adult and you have children that depend on your decisions and things like that, you're supposed to make decisions that keep them safe. Let me ask you what you think this is going to do to her in regard to relationships.
Well, I think a lot of the people that know her behind the scenes see the real Miley, and if you're in that arena, you realize that what the fans see is made up, basically. It's just all fiction. It's an act, you know. So I don't know that this is really going to have any impact one way or the other. I think that however she acts at parties and behind the scenes would have more of an impact than this video. I don't think the other actors that would see her do this, the other performers, because you have to understand, these are the people that she hangs out with. And they've done things like this, too, and they know the difference between when they're performing on stage and when they're just walking around at a picnic somewhere or going to a dance club and, you know, drinking or whatever. You know, it's they're two different people. So I think that I don't know that this would have an impact on her personal life, but it's definitely going to have an impact on her professional life, depending on what she does next now. So the ball's really in her court to see how she handles this. You know, and what she does next and what she puts out there next. And then that's going to set the tone for her fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's put out those kind of energies right now and hope that very much like Britney Spears. And, of course, Britney Spears, then after she did some of the stuff she did, then she kind of screwed up her personal life and did foolish things with her kids. Because now, once you put yourself in the public eye, you're always under a certain amount of scrutiny. And let's face it, I don't think I'd want anybody following me around all day either. And I actually put forth an effort to be a good person and to not do stupid things, which doesn't mean that I'm always successful. So I do believe that when they put themselves on display like this, it opens a door or a window into their lives that other people shouldn't be invited into. And I hope you're right. I hope that the people that are in her world understand where she was coming from and understand the choices that she made and realize that it was, you know, about her career, et cetera, et cetera. But on that note, that brings us to another subject that you and I talked about briefly yesterday. And that's things like the sexuality in general that is brought out there through things like beauty pageants, the little kid beauty pageants. I can't think about things like this without thinking about JonBenet and the things that happened to her. And I believe it's coming to light that it really didn't have anything to do with what she did for a living. It was just an opportunity when someone hurt her. But on the same token, you see some of these reality shows that are on TV right now about beauty pageants and about all the stuff and all the makeup and bleaching your hair when you're five and having tattoo lipstick put on and having fake eyelashes put on. I know how I feel about that, taking away the little girl part of a female is, first of all, dangerous for who they grow into, and second of all, is kind of mean, because it's one thing to know that your child has a talent, like training for the Olympics or something like that, that will give them a great sense of pride at some point in time in their life. And I'm not saying that being the winner of a beauty pageant won't give them some pride. I'm just saying that the extremes that are taken to make a 5-year-old look like a 25-year-old are some of the things that upset me. How do you feel about those things, Shell?
Well, I'm kind of on the same page with you with that. I don't think that you can compare a beauty pageant to the Olympics or being a musician or a singer or a performer and honing those types of abilities and talents. Hang on one second.
Okay. Well, and I don't either. Okay. Are you back?
You know, but yeah, I'm back. But the whole thing is that when you're talking about, and I have nothing wrong with beauty pageants, but I don't think they have a place at 5 years old with all the makeup. If you want to have a beauty pageant, I think they should be age-appropriate. I think if you're going to have a beauty pageant with 5-year-olds, they should look like 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Clean them up, dress them up, their hair, but what's with their makeup? See, I don't agree with that. And I think that's sending a really bad message.
Well, and there's also, they're also creating a dependency on believing that you are not beautiful enough in your natural state. And some people can deal with that and some people can't. I mean, what that could do to certain individuals' psyche is one thing. Some people it wouldn't touch. It would be like playing dress up. And as long as it stays like playing dress up and you realize that that's not really who you are, then that's one thing. But if you begin to believe as a 4 or 5-year-old that the only time that you're really beautiful is when you're wearing all of this makeup and all these fancy clothes and all that kind of stuff, then that's a different thing, I think. And I think it also presents a different picture to the other children and young people that are watching it. I think it sends confusion. And it's confusing enough growing up. I think that what you have that you're born with, I don't see anything wrong in teaching a little girl how to groom themselves, how to take care of their hair, how to brush their teeth, how to wash their face and make sure that their face stays clean after they're outside playing with their brothers or even with another girlfriend when they're 4 and 5 years old. I remember telling all my, I have 3 boys and 1 girl, don't ever bring mommy anything with no legs, no worms, no snakes, no nothing like that. The only one who ever brought me things like that was Diana. And it mortified me to think that my little girl picked up worms and things like that, and she'd come in with them all clutched in her little tiny hands and hand them to me. It grossed me out because it was my daughter doing it instead of one of the boys. But it's, you know, so the point I'm making is they need to be able to be themselves without thinking that the only time that they're really acceptable is when you change them with makeup and hairdos and all those kind of things. And I think it starts something for a young child and puts them in a place where there's going to be some confusion. So and you read all the time about movie stars who have had do you remember God, what was the name of that sitcom? Well, it's kind of a sitcom, kind of a drama. Jody and Buffy, the two little adorable kids that went to live with their uncle and his butler in I can't remember the name of the show. Both of them met a very early demise because of drugs and what have you, because of the lifestyle that they got immersed in.
And
this happens to child stars all the time because that life is a grown-up's life. It's not a child's life. And you see, I mean, I read an article the other day about the girl that played Joni on with the Fonz and all of them. Happy Days.
Oh, right.
Happy Days.
Yeah.
And and she's a miserable adult. So I don't. There's a lot to be said for how these kids are treated and what becomes normal and acceptable behavior. And I think it's the job of the grown-ups that are in their lives to make sure that they understand one is make-believe and one is for real. And I think that's where the two worlds get meshed together, and that's what screws up the kid.
That's right. That's right. Because they start putting the wrong, they start putting importance on the wrong things. They lose a sense of appropriate values, you know, and sometimes they're in a position where they're trying to make all the adults in their life happy, and maybe it's not even something they want to do, you know. And now there are others that are completely okay with their rise to fame, and they stay in the acting arena for generations. I mean, you've got some, you know, Will Smith basically started as a very, very young man, a teenager, and he's grown into a superstar. Now he's got his own son in acting, but it's a whole family, you know, very, very high family values, integrity and all that, you know. So here you have somebody who started out as a child performer, because he was a rapper even before then, and, you know, he's really made something of himself, but he did it the right way. He never lost sight of family values. He never lost sight of reality, and he has a good attitude towards the whole thing. But for those that aren't, where they don't maintain the family values, don't maintain some sense of reality and appropriate interaction with other people, they get lost. They get lost, and when they get lost, they turn to drugs and alcohol. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's true. When they get lost, they turn to things.
Absolutely,
to,
it is.
You know, to make themselves feel better, to make them feel connected, to, you know, to feel like they belong, and then that starts them spiraling downward. You know, and sometimes you've seen it. That same scenario has played out hundreds of times.
Well, and the other thing is what you are programmed to believe about yourself. Like most programs, it's hard to get rid of once you've been programmed like that, and once you believe that the only way people are going to love you is if you are, you know, this special person that's getting all this attention and everything. It's and then all of a sudden you don't get it. Maybe you cross over from that cute little 6-year-old to a very awkward 13-year-old, and nobody wants you for any of the roles you were playing as a child actor, and now you're too old, but you don't fit into the older teenager and everything. That's hard on somebody as well. So it's a tough life. I would say of all the arenas out there, that would probably be the toughest. One of my kids and I had a discussion yesterday because he said something about the president, and I said, and he's one of my sweetest children or men. He's a grown man and everything, but he said, you know, what the hell's the matter with the president, and why is he doing this? Because we were talking about Syria, and I said, first of all, you don't really know what he's thinking, because the only people that are telling you what he's thinking is the media. And you cannot believe what the media says, because it's all up for their interpretation, what they watch, the little bits and pieces that they hear, and then they come up with a story. That's their job. I said, so you really don't know where his head is at and what he's thinking. But the other thing that you don't understand is that he doesn't make a decision, nor has any other president in the history of our world able to make a decision solely based on his own feelings, his own thoughts, and his own ideas. That's not the way it happens. So it's the same with movie stars. Movie stars are portrayed as who the people that bring them to us, the public, want us to see them. So,
well, first
in
of all,
essence,
think about it.
You don't ever really know.
Right, well, think about this for a minute. anybody knows that a music video, a 45-minute TV show, you know, an hour TV show, which is really only 45 minutes, all right, there's hours and hours and hours of filming that's done to create that little segment you're watching. So that video that she recorded, for however long it lasted, it was a few minutes, right? Right?
I don't know.
Okay, well, there would have been hours of filming done, and somebody, you know, the creative forces behind this are the ones that cut it to look like it ended up, okay? And it's, you know, because they never film these things on one you know, stretch, you know, like they, if it's a 2-minute video, they didn't film it for 2 minutes. They filmed it for a couple hours, and then they chose the scenes they wanted. So, and they can do anything with the scenes to, you know, to bring out the message they were trying to bring out or to give it the tone. So that's another thing. Everybody's being critical of you know, Miley Cyrus for doing this video. But the bottom line is, what about the people that once they filmed her, cut it that way and had it come out that way with the close-ups with her licking the chain and all these other things, okay? That's the other professionals involved that decided that this is what they wanted to produce.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, that's all true, and that's all. Like I said, though, it's all about what we're given to see. Like you just said, it's about what the rest of the world looks at, and then of course you've got a general consensus of what's going on, and you never know whether it's right or wrong or true or false or part true and part false or what it is. We only know what we can be told. And we've talked about this with the NSA, and we've talked about this in regard to many, many things on this show. And even when I give a quote off Google or Bing or one of those, when I do research, I tell everybody, this is what I read on the computer. If this information is incorrect, I apologize. But this is what's being put out there for everybody to see. It's interesting.
Right.
On my Facebook page, something just popped up from somebody that you and I know fairly well, who is a health specialist. And he has two pictures. While everyone was talking about Miley's ass, all I could see was this. And then the second half of the picture is, Japanese government admits Fukushima plant is leaking 300 tons of contaminated water into the sea every day. But he's right. This takes like fourth, fifth, and sixth place in what's important in the world, and what took the most important was Miley Cyrus sticking her tongue out and making obscene gestures on a stage with next to nothing on. Amusing, isn't it?
Well, that's a very good point. However, that's a very, very good point to make. However, one of the reasons why things aren't handled properly in the world is that the powers that be don't have proper values. So although it may be frivolous to talk about Miley Cyrus and all that, we're not actually talking about the video. We're talking about the backdrop of what would have allowed people to put her in that arena. And that's a bigger picture. It's not that we're critiquing her video or, you know, or that. We're talking about the mindset today of people that are in positions of being responsible for child performers that are not making good decisions on behalf of that child performer. And because that child performer is out in the media, you're actually affecting an entire generation. So this is really a bigger issue than just critiquing the value, you know, of a music video. You know, there's a much
bigger picture.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the point Jean-Lou is making is the fact that it takes precedence over all these other dramatic things that are going on, and he's right. I'm not really talking about the fact that you and I are discussing it. We discuss some of these big matters every now and then, but they get so controversial, and I try to steer clear of a lot of those things because it also gets very sensitive for some people, just like the guns and what's going
right.
on in Syria right now. I don't want to get into a bashing of the president. I don't want to get into a bashing of, even though I find so many things wrong and so many things that I would like to change, but I'm not sure that I have all the answers either. And sometimes when I read some of the things I read, I'm just grateful that it's not my decision to make. And that may seem wrong to some people, but I'm glad that I do not sit in a seat where I hate the fact that my decisions usually have a ripple effect with my family and friends. You know, that's a big responsibility, and I take it very, very seriously. So when I think about all the other things that are going on out there, there's some real serious things going on out there, that's for sure. But one of the reasons that we came up with this show is to help kids grow into more well-adjusted, wiser, more balanced adults so that our world can straighten up a little bit and our world
right.
can get to a more level place. So when I see young people being taken advantage of by the adults of today to sell videos, to make money, to become richer and richer and richer so they can have six Mercedes instead of just one, it makes me angry, hurts my feelings, all of those things, because I think to myself, you know, what about this kid? When you're all done with her, what about her? What happens to her? And what is she
right.
putting out there for the rest of the world to see about who she is and about what she can do and about anything about her? In the meantime, she's got talent. Why aren't we putting her talent out there without all the other embarrassing and disrespectful and crude behavior?
Right.
That's what upsets me. It's not that she's the biggest problem in the world, God no. But I just think it is funny that even in the newspapers, you'll see a picture of Miley sticking her butt up in the air and her tongue out instead of a picture of these guys that are with all the stuff that's going on in the rest of the world. That's like much more earth-shattering for sure. But not on our show. I don't think that we can even touch some of that stuff, but we can certainly get people to understand that if we want our world to be a better place, we have to work on the kids because they're going to be running it, not us. I'm going to be
right.
sitting back someplace, either in a swimming pool or a bar stool or whatever I choose to do, and watching the rest of the world do their job. And I would like to see it being done in a better way. And the only way that's going to happen is if the kids that are growing into the adults today have a better grasp on reality and what's important and what isn't important.
That's right.
You know, I think that in today's world, it's become so superficial. Everything's about what you have and what you don't have. Everything's about what you can do and what you can't do. The world of drugs and promiscuity and all that kind of stuff has become normal. And it shouldn't be normal.
No.
Nobody thinks twice about there was a little bit of fal-de-ral about the 54-year-old man that rapes a 14-year-old girl and gets 30 days in jail. Everybody was like, how could that happen? And tisk, tisk, tisk. But that's that crap, I can read that stuff every single night or every single morning, can't I, Shel? Every morning.
Yep.
I can find 10 stories like that every day. I can find 10 stories about a kid killing himself or hanging himself because everybody made fun of him because he has acne. I can find 10 stories every morning on the internet about some child who can't get the world out of his way to stand up, and he ends his own life. Suicide and things like that with our young people is at an all-time high, and this is why, because we've forgotten to show them what the real important things are. And if we don't figure out a way to do that, it's only going to get worse. How could it possibly get better if all you can ever think about is how much money you're going to make?
Yeah, and it's all perspective anyway. You know, if you teach a child, if you invite the children in to your adult problems, then you are now going to cripple that child for the rest of their lives with inappropriate attitude towards struggle or towards financial issues. Now it's going to become an issue for them. If you empower a child, you know, like I told you, a couple of my favorite speakers, Troy McClain and Brendan Burchard, both talk about when they were younger, they were both dirt poor. They each tell different stories about how they weren't aware they were poor because of how Troy McClain was raised by a single mom, and Brendan Burchard, their family had really, really, bad financial problems at one point where they actually had their electricity cut off, you know, and they put a pop tent in their living room and had all the kids pile in the pop tent and gave them blankets and stuff until they could get the heat turned back on. You know, this was in the middle of winter, but they didn't tell the kids it was because they had the heat turned off because they were having financial problems. They told the kids we want to try an adventure for a while. So the kids thought this was kind of mean. They, you know, and it's because the parents allowed the kids to be kids. They didn't invite them into their adult world. And too many times in the way parents are today, and it's very challenging, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody, but you have to let kids be kids. And your kid can either grow up with a healthy attitude towards money and towards success based on your attitude towards it, or you can cripple them with your cynicism. So if you don't mind being...
And your adult problems
right.
to make them think
That's
like
right.
somehow, some way... It's some of their responsibility. We're almost out of time, and somebody just sent me this, and it kind of sums up a little bit about what we're talking about. It says, a true friend doesn't care when you're broke, being a bitch, what you weigh, if your house is a mess, what you drive, about your past, or if your family is filled with crazy people. They love you for who you are. Repost if you have at least one true friend. They will know who they are. And, you know... That really kind of sums it up for everybody, because all of that is true. And if you can get past being that person, that's a good thing. That's a very, very, very good thing. If you can get past being the person that judges everybody else and you know, sees other people as being either beneath them or so far above them, it's not your job to do that. It's not your job. It's our job as individuals to judge who we are and either heighten ourselves or lower ourselves, whichever is appropriate. But it's nobody else's job to do that, certainly not ours. So I want to thank everybody, though, for joining us today. And I look forward to being able to share with everybody more and more about the endeavor that myself and Shelley and Michael Berganzi are going to be working on. And as that blossoms into what we hope it to be, I will be sharing more and more of that. And everybody go out there. It looks like it's going to be a rainy day, so take your umbrellas with you and make it a good one anyway. Are you safely at work yet, Shelley?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day, and we will be back tomorrow morning bright and early. Have a good one. God bless. Bye, Shells. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye, Renee. Bye, everyone. Have a great day.